You mean like sort of on...
I guess I love you.
Tragedy struck.
I see you haven't lost your touch.
Hey, this is Bob at O Comic Expo here in Council Bluffs, Iowa. I had to make sure I say Council Bluffs because we are in Omaha Comic Con, but it's in Council Bluffs. It's kind of strange.
So we are in Iowa.
We are in Iowa.
Yes.
We crossed that border just coming into the event center. And I am standing next to a man who, I have to tell you this, I was opening night, Flash Gordon, my little town in Kansas. I was there.
That would have been Christmas 1980.
Yes. I was junior in high school.
Oh, wow.
But I am with Sam Jones, Flash Gordon himself. How are you doing, sir?
Fantastic, Bob. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for talking to us.
Yeah.
I tell you, I say your name and I keep thinking I'm going to hear Flash. Ah.
Yeah.
You know, it's strange. You know, very few heroes who, and I don't know if you would call Flash a superhero or just a guy that was in the right place at the right time and is doing the right stuff, but not very many heroes have a theme song like that. That's almost so
it's
iconic.
Pretty cool. Yeah, Queen really nailed it. They really hit the nail on the head with that. And of course they were the first, it was the first rock opera, you know.
Yeah.
Soundtrack. A lot of people say that the Who, but this was the first big movie rock opera.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Tommy was just something completely different. But this, I mean, it was the orchestrations and just the complete soundtrack. And I remember buying the soundtrack, too. I mean,
on
cassette. So how everything's been going okay here in
I love it here. No, really. And they have some good steakhouses here, too. Mm-hmm.
They definitely.
Place called Lincoln Pub.
Oh my
God, you got to go there.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that is a butcher owns it. It's Johnny and it's the man's as well. And really good place.
Oh, man.
Good atmosphere, good food, and again, steaks.
Yeah.
Well, Lincoln Pub.
Well, that part's in Nebraska, so you're going to have good beef there.
Yeah.
So, how's things been going for you? I mean,
good.
You've really have made a resurgence here. A lot, of, you know, with the Ted films and
because
things
like of Ted,
that.
Yeah, that opened up that younger age demographic for me. It really did, yeah.
Yeah,
that fan base, yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? You have a fan base that is unbelievable. I mean, I consider you almost like Rush. You have fathers taking their kids to see Rush. This is the kind of music I used to listen to. There are dads who have kids sit down and watch Flash Gordon.
Yeah.
Because this is the kind of movies I used to watch when I was a kid. And Flash Gordon was just amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I actually picked up my second copy on Blu-ray because I wore out the other one about a month or two ago.
Cool.
And so I watch it maybe once a week or so. But it's just such an amazing film overall. I also watched your documentary.
Good.
Yeah. And
I'm glad. I love the messages in there.
It is. I tell you what, it was definitely deeper. It was definitely deeper than I thought it was going to be.
Well, the only way we're going to reach people, we have to be transparent.
Yes.
We have to talk about our failures and our successes.
And there were some real shocks here. And when I told some of the people, isn't that crazy? When I told some of the people, you know, spoiler alert about some of the issues that you had to deal with during the filming of Flash Gordon, they were like, no way.
Oh, yeah, it's for the norm. It's normal, I mean, on a lot of challenges on any project.
Yeah.
It is. It's just a matter of how, that's really the true test of your character is how you deal with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, how you deal with adversity. Anybody have a great attitude or have great success if everything goes smooth.
Mm-hmm.
But once there's challenges, you know, that's our true test of our character,
exactly.
Is how we deal with that.
Exactly. Now, so basically, did Dino De Laurentiis blackball you?
No. There's really no, I don't believe there's really any such thing that I'm sure people in a position of power can, but I think people eventually will learn what the truth is.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that simple, you know?
But
it's just that simple.
But after, and it's, like I said, life after Flash, You definitely have made a resurgence. Like I said, we talked about TED.
Sure.
But you also do, you do a lot of different things and a lot of different projects. Name some of the things that you've been doing recently. I understand.
We got the documentary. We have four of the films out this year.
Yeah.
All independents. I do a lot of Comic Cons. I'm primarily a family man, a wife and five kids and five grandchildren. So that's really what my life is. I love it.
You're not a grandfather.
That's
a
five.
You're too young to be a grandfather. I also understand you also do security.
Yeah, well, I'm a Marine before I was ever an actor. Mm-hmm. I was a Marine right out of high school. So that lets you know how long. I've been an actor for 42 years.
Wow.
So from 72 to 76. And then I played Marine Corps football, got out, and tried out for the Seahawks for the NFL. And they said, no, we don't need you. So then I read an article on Clint Eastwood, and that inspired me to go to Hollywood. So I showed up in Hollywood 42 years ago this month in 1977. And then, of course, when the movie business got slow around 16 years ago, my wife was very encouraging about another vocation because in any industry, it's about provision.
Right.
You know, a lot of people, and I had to learn, you know, part of my documentary, one of my messages is for men. We like to hang on to this descriptive line or a title. Oh, I'm just a news anchor guy. Oh, I'm just an actor. Oh, I'm just a teacher. No, we're not. We better redefine ourselves and say, I'm a working man. I'm a working man, and I'm a provider for me and my family.
And you're a
so
father.
Once I got a hold of that, it changed my whole life, my whole career.
That's
so
fantastic.
I contacted some former military guys and got retrained up in what we call federal protective doctrine and became a security professional, relocated to San Diego, where for 14 years I ran cross-border security operations into the border cities of Mexico. And then, of course, other high-risk environments, Philippines, et cetera, et cetera. So once I started doing that, that's when the phone started to ring to make more movies. So that's the message for the men, is stop sitting around waiting for the phone to ring. Stop identifying yourself as, no, I'm just this, when in fact our label should be, I'm a working man. I would do any work legally to provide for my family. That's the transition in life.
That's excellent.
And it's really easy to fall. I get it. Entitlements. I got it because it all started with me when I was home healing from a stunt injury. And then I kept getting my entitlement check.
Uh-huh.
I said, oh, so after my body was healed, I thought, oh, I could do this for a lot of years.
Oh.
And then my wife, again, was encouraging. She basically said, snap out of it. And thank God for that.
She sounds like a good woman.
Yeah. Well, that's what we have to do. That's what we have to do as men. Otherwise, it's all nonsense. It's all nonsense.
Now, you said you have four films, right?
Yeah. I got another one is called Silent Natural. I play the dad. It's about the first deaf Major League Baseball player.
Oh.
William Hoy, 1880s, 1890s. Really, really great movie. True story.
Excellent.
The lead actor is really deaf, as well as a lot of other actors. I played a hitman in a movie called The Accelerator. Another comedy called Enter the Fist, The Golden Fleece, and then another psychological thriller. So, it's wonderful.
Good. Nothing. No more with the stuffed animals, right?
Who knows? Well, who knows?
I tell you, it has been fantastic talking to you. I do appreciate it. Sam,
All right,
have
Bob.
A good rest
Thank
of the
you.
Weekend.
You got it. Thanks.
All right.